By performing Vedic ritualistic activities, by giving money in charity, and by undergoing austerity, one can temporarily become free from the reactions of sinful activities. But at the next moment, he must again become engaged in sinful activities. For example, a person suffering from venereal disease on account of excessive indulgence in sex life has to undergo some severe pain and medical treatment, and he is then cured for the time being. But because he has not been able to remove the sex desire from his heart, he must again indulge in the same thing and become a victim of the same disease. So medical treatment may give temporary relief from the distress of such venereal disease, but unless one is trained to understand that sex life is abominable, it is impossible to be saved from such repeated distress. Similarly, the ritualistic performances, charity and austerity, which are recommended in the Vedas, may temporarily stop one from acting in sinful ways, but as long as the heart is not clear, one will have to repeat sinful activities again and again.
So, according to Vedic ritualistic ceremony, there is recommendation of prayaschitta. What is called?
Atonement.
Yes. Atonement. So, the example is given just like a thief. He knows that stealing is not good. He has got experience that in the past he committed criminal offense by stealing, and he was arrested, then he was punished, still he's stealing again. A man knows that stealing is not good. By ordinary law, stealing is punished. And in the scriptures also, stealing is prohibited because it is sinful. And one has seen that a person who is a thief was arrested and was punished. Everything he knows, but still he commits stealing. Why? Therefore, Bhagavat says, through Sukadev Goswami, this prayaschitta vimarsanam, simply official prayaschitta, will not help a man ceasing from sinful activities. Official. In Christian religion also, they accept, confess their sinful activities, and again they commit the same sinful activities. So, Sukadeva Goswami recommends this prayaschitta vimarsanam. Unless one understands his constitutional position, unless he is convinced that why should he commit sinful activities simply for this body which does not belong to him. It is a foreign. Actually, he has no connection with the body. Vimarsanam means cultivation of knowledge. So, one has to cultivate knowledge. Then he can be stopped from sinful activities. People generally, they identify this body as self, and for bodily interest, he commits so many sinful activities, simply for satisfaction of the senses. But if he is cultured, if he is given proper knowledge that bodily concept of life is not your interest, you are spirit soul, aham brahmasmi. In this way, if he cultivates knowledge, that is very easily possible simply by engaging oneself in the service of the Lord. Kevalaya bhakti. Simply by devotional service, one can raise himself to the position of perfect knowledge, and thus he can renounce all sinful activities. Vasudeva bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojita janayati asu vairagyam jnanancha jat ahaitam. In ignorance, means in bodily concept of life we commit sinful activities, but if we actually come to the platform of knowledge, jnana, then naturally there is vairagya, renunciation. Renunciation means renunciation of sinful activities. Renunciation does not mean renunciation of devotional service. Renunciation means that unwanted things, anartha nivitti, that is renunciation. Adu sadhya tato sadhu sangha tato bhajana kriya tato anartha nivittisya. If one is actually advanced in spiritual life, execution of regular spiritual life, then automatically anartha nivitti, things which are not required, that becomes automatically stopped. Anartha nivittisya. So that anartha nivitti is possible by sadhya, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, then anartha nivitti, then nishtha, ruchi, asakti, bhava. In this way we develop our Krishna consciousness, love of God.
Another example is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam of the elephant who enters into a lake and takes a bath very seriously, cleansing his body thoroughly. Then, as soon as he comes out onto shore, he again takes some dust from the earth and throws it over his body. Similarly, a person who is not trained in Krishna consciousness cannot become completely free from the desire for sinful activities. Neither the yoga process, nor philosophical speculations, nor fruitive activities can save one from the seeds of sinful desires. Only by being engaged in devotional service can this be done.
The elephant, Hastishna. Hastishna, this is a very practical example. The elephant takes bath in the lake, very profusely throw water on his body and becomes cleansed, and as soon as he comes on the shore, he takes again dust and spreads over his body. So these are natural examples. Similarly, there are different processes for getting out of the reaction of sinful activities. But you take it. But if you again commit the sinful activities, then what is the use of such penance or prayaschitta? Hastisnana, the example is given as Hastisnana. Take for example, it is said, by chanting Hare Krishna mantra, one is released from all sinful activities immediately. Eka Hari name jato pap hare, papi hai tato pap kuri bare nare. This is a fact, just like Ajami. His whole life was full of sinful activities. But at the time of death, because he uttered the holy name of Narayana, he became immediately released. That's a fact. But if we commit again sinful activities, then what is the use of chanting Hare Krishna mantra? Namnat balat jasrahi papa buddhi. This is one of the 10 offenses. If anyone thinks that I am chanting Hare Krishna mantra, it is reacting all the effects of my sinful life, then again I can commit and chant Hare Krishna. It is a very good business. No, that is great offense. Namnat balat jasahi papa buddhi. One should not indulge in such a way. Jagai Madhai was accepted by Lord Chaitanya only on the promise that they would not commit any more any sinful activities. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is there for everyone. He can accept everyone. One who is sinful, that is not disqualification. Because in this age, Kali Yuga, more or less everyone is sinful. Then nobody can be claimed to be liberated by chanting Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna mantra will give you relief from all sinful activities, provided you don't commit it again. Otherwise, it will be like Hastisnan, the example of the elephant, and it will be a great offense if on the strength of chanting Hare Krishna mantra we continue to commit sinful activities. That is great offense. We should not do that. The idea is, by chanting Hare Krishna mantra, we become free from the reaction of sinful life. But that does not mean we shall again indulge in sinful life and counteract it by chanting Hare Krishna mantra. No, not like that. Once you take to Hare Krishna mantra, you should make rapid progress without committing any sinful activity and retard the progress. Don't do that. Go on.
There's another evidence in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 22nd chapter, 37th verse, wherein Sanat Kumar says, quote, "My dear king, the false ego of a human being is so strong that it keeps him in material existence as if tied up by a strong rope. Only the devotees can cut off the knot of this strong rope very easily by engaging themselves in Krishna consciousness. Others, who are not in Krishna consciousness, but are trying to become great mystics or great ritual performers, cannot advance like the devotees. Therefore, it is the duty of everyone to engage himself in the activities of Krishna consciousness in order to be freed from the tight knot of false ego and engagement in material activity."
Vajavasudevam, there is a verse like that. That as by taking shelter at the lotus feet of Vasudeva, Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can get release from all kinds of material tribulations, such kind of emanation is not possible by practicing yoga, tapasya, jnana. This is the statement in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In all ways, it is recommended that we should take shelter. Samasitaji padapallavam plavam mahat padam punnajaso murari bhavam budhi vasya padam param padam 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 jad vipadang natisham. If one takes shelter of Mahatpadam Punna Jaso Murari. Murari is Krishna's another name. So Punna Jaso, his name is famous as poet Punna Jaso Murari. If anyone takes shelter of his lotus feet, then the great ocean of nisans become a small pit, and one can jump over it very easily.
This tight knot of false ego is due to ignorance. As long as one is ignorant about his identification, he is sure to act wrongly and thereby become entangled in material contamination. This ignorance of factual knowledge can also be dissipated by Krishna consciousness, as it is confirmed in the Padma Purana as follows. Pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness.
Srila Rupa Goswami is giving evidences from different Vedic literatures to support his statement. Here is a statement from Padma Purana. Srila Jiva Goswami, in his Tattva Sandarbha, has proved it without any doubt that the Puranas are supplementary to Vedas. They are just like Upanishad is part and parcel of the Vedas. Similarly, Puranas are also part and parcel of the Vedic literature. There are philosophers, the Mayavadi philosophers, they do not accept Puranas as Vedic literature, but Srila Jiva Goswami has proved in his Tattva Sandarbha, in the beginning, that Puranas, Mahabharata, Itihas Puran, they are part and parcel of the Vedic literature, supplementary. Purana means that which supplement. So, evidences from Purana is as good as the evidence from the Vedic quotation. That is the verdict of Srila Jiva Goswami. Srila Jiva Goswami is not prepared to accept any statement which does not refer to the Vedic literatures, Vedas, Puranas, Upanishads, Mahabharata, Ramayana, like that. Srila Rupa Goswami also says in another place, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatriki Vidhing Bina. So he has taken Puranas also as evidences, Vedic evidences. So Shruti, the Vedas, Smriti, the Puranas, and other literatures, Dharma Shastra, Smriti Shastra, and Puran, Pancharatriki Vidhi. Without reference to all these authentic literature, any kind of devotional activities are not accepted by the Goswamis. They say, without the reference to these all Vedic literatures, any kind of devotional service is simply disturbance. Pancharatri vidhing vina vikantiki harer bhakti utpata eva kalpate. Utpat, disturbance. Go on.
Pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness is the highest enlightenment. And when such enlightenment is there, it is just like a blazing forest fire, killing all the inauspicious snakes of desire. Unquote. The example is being given in this connection that when there is a forest fire, the extensive blazing automatically kills all the snakes in the forest. There are many, many snakes on the ground of the forest, and when a fire takes place, it burns the dried foliage, and the snakes are immediately attacked. Animals who have four legs can flee from the fire, or can at least try to flee, for the snakes are immediately killed. Similarly, the blazing fire of Krishna consciousness is so strong that the snakes of ignorance are immediately killed.
What?
Krishna consciousness is all auspicious. Srila Rupa Goswami has given a definition of auspiciousness.
The snakes, kala sarpa, indriya. Prabhupada Saraswati has explained about these kala sarpas. Snake. Our senses are compared with these snakes. Just like a snake, as soon as it touches somebody, it kills. It is very dangerous, touching by the lip of the snake. Similarly, a slight sense gratification is so dangerous. Kala sarpa indriya patali. Especially in the sex matter. The yogis, they are training the senses how to restrain them from sense gratification. But a devotee, on account of their senses being engaged in the service of the Lord, there is no poisonous effect of the senses. Rishikena Rishikesa Sevanam Bhakti Ruchat. Krishna's another name is Rishikesh. Ratasthapayama Uchita. Rishikesh. In the Bhagavad Gita, this word is used, Rishikesh. So, Rishikesh means the master of the senses. Actually, our senses are given by Krishna. We wanted a type of instrument to enjoy a certain type of material enjoyment. And Krishna has given us senses. Actually, the proprietor of the senses is Krishna. Therefore, his name is Rishikesha, master of the senses. If we actually use the senses for the service of the proprietor of the senses, that is bhakti. We do not want to stop the activities of the senses. But they are used for the purpose of the sense proprietor, Rishikesh. That is called bhakti. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchat. Bhakti means, don't use the senses for sense gratification. Apply the senses for the satisfaction of the proprietor of the senses. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchat. Go on.
Srila Rupa Goswami has given a definition of auspiciousness. He says that actual auspiciousness means welfare activities for all the people of the world.
Yes. Just like this Krishna consciousness movement. It is welfare activities for all the people of the world. It is not a sectarian movement, not only for the human being, but also for the animals, birds, beasts, trees, everyone. This discussion was made by Haridas Thakur with Lord Chaitanya. In that statement, Haridas Thakur affirmed it that by chanting Hare Krishna mantra loudly, the trees, the birds, the beasts, everyone will be benefited. This is the statement of Namacharya Haridas Thakur. So, when we chant Hare Krishna mantra loudly, it is beneficial for everyone. This statement was put forward in Melbourne, in the court. The court inquired, why do you chant Hare Krishna mantra loudly in the street? The reply we gave, that just to benefit all the people. Actually, it is the fact. Of course, now there is no persecution by the state. We are chanting very freely on the streets. That is the benefit. If we chant Hare Krishna mantra, it benefits everyone, not only human being. My Guru Maharaj used to say, if somebody complained that we go and chant, but nobody attends our meeting. So Guru Maharaj will reply that why? The four walls will hear you. That is sufficient. Don't be disappointed. Go on chanting. If there are four walls, they will hear. That's all. So chanting is so effective that it benefits even the animals, beasts, birds, insects, everyone. Go on. This is the best welfare activity. In the human society, there are welfare activities for some society or nation or community or human being. But this welfare activity is beneficial not only to the human society, but to the birds, beasts, tree, animal, everyone. This is the best, supermost welfare activity in the world. Spread Krishna consciousness. Go on.
At the present moment, groups of people are engaged in welfare activities in terms of society, community, or nation. There is even an attempt in the form of the United Nations for world health activities. But due to the shortcomings of limited national activities, such a general mass welfare program for the whole world is not practically possible. The Krishna consciousness movement, however, is so nice that it can render the highest benefit to the entire human race. Everyone can be attracted to, by this movement, and everyone can feel a result. Therefore, Rupa Goswami and other learned scholars agree that a broad propaganda program for the Krishna consciousness movement of devotional service all over the world is the highest humanitarian welfare activity.
John?
How the Krishna consciousness movement can attract the attention of the whole world, and how each and every man can feel pleasure in this Krishna consciousness, is stated in the Padma Purana as follows. Quote, "A person who is engaged in devotional service in full Krishna consciousness is to be understood to be doing the best service to the whole world and to be pleasing everyone in the world. In addition to human society, he is pleasing even the trees and animals because they also become attracted by such a movement." Unquote. A practical example of this was shown by Lord Chaitanya when he was traveling through the forests of Jharikhanda in central India for spreading his Sankirtan movement. The tigers, the elephants, the deer, and all other wild animals joined him and were participating in their own ways by dancing and chanting Hare Krishna.
Yes, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was passing through the forest of Jharikhanda in central India, all the animals joined with him. Of course, he is Krishna himself. But if one becomes purified, there is no question that all animals, living entities, would join in Sankirtan movement. There is evidence. But one must be a very sincere and powerful preacher. If we cannot preach and the society of the animals, we can preach at least in the human societies who are supposed to be uncivilized or very in lower status of life. Actually, it is so happening. In Africa also, our men are going interior in the village. They are almost naked, these Africans. We have got pictures with big earring. So they are also, they are children, and they also dance in Krishna consciousness, in the Hare Krishna chanting. This is the wonderful movement that anyone can take part. We see the children take part, the dogs take part, the so-called uncivilized men, they also take part. This is the universality of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Prithivi te ache jato nagaradi gram. Sarvatva prachar haive mor naam. So, it is Lord's prediction, and that is fact. Simply, we have to serve the Lord and execute His mission. That will make our life successful. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.